What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Please tell me you are making this available later. Yeah, we will. I'm definitely as a podcast. I guess as video. Can I say?
Well, no, this will be available.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be, it's going to be for perpetuity. It's for
in perpetuity. Yeah. Unless I cut some of it off, throw it onto Patreon. Just kidding. I won't do that. But I do want to urge everyone to donate to my Patreon, patreon.com/the Katie Helper Show. Sounds so scammy, but I'm not scamming people. I bring good content.
Yeah. You should give money to Katie. Your money to women. Katie Helper.
Helper, yeah. I got Matt Brunigan and Tim Higginbotham, like the most Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah, it's a real guy. They were talking about Elizabeth Warren's healthcare plan. About her plan to pay for it. Hello and welcome to the Katie Helper Show. On today's episode, I do something a little bit different. I play the audio from a live stream that I did with my guest Ben Norton. And there's some things that are kind of out of the blue or seem out of the blue. So we respond to the news that Medea Benjamin almost got arrested or that they tried to arrest her. And yeah, but I think it's a good episode. So enjoy. Make sure that you go to patreon.com/the Katie Helper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/the Katie Helper Show. So you can hear my bonus interview with, coincidentally enough, Ben Norton's colleague at The Gray Zone, Aaron Mate. And Aaron Mate shares his thoughts about the impeachment hearing so far.
We're live.
Okay, and we're live. Awesome.
Hello.
Hello. Very excited to be doing a live stream, Katie Helper Show live stream, with friend of the show, past guest and present guest and future guest, Ben Norton.
Who, hopefully. You never know what will happen.
It's true. Future. This could be a real bust.
I could be permanently banned.
Right, yeah. Well,
none of your jokes landed. You can't go on the show.
Yeah. Once and past guest, Ben Norton. And Ben is a journalist at The Gray Zone. And he has a piece at The Gray Zone called Bolivia Coup Led by Christian Fascist Paramilitary Leader and Millionaire with Foreign Support. So tell us about this article, what you learned, what you want people to know.
Well, a few different things. Thanks for having me, Katie.
Of course, yeah.
So as for what's going on in Bolivia, which is ostensibly what people are listening for, you know, the situation is really bad. And I think in many ways it kind of echoes the famous 73 coup against Salvador Allende. Very similar situation.
In Chile.
In Chile.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you made a joke about it recently. You were like, should we say Chile or Chile?
Oh, it's
never say Chile.
Right.
Chile is there's no justification.
There's no reason, yeah.
Like, people don't need to say Nicaragua.
Right.
But don't say Chile.
I know. Chile. I know, it's true. You know, it's like, I've never like Venezuela.
Yeah, you can still anglicize Venezuela. It. And you can say Chile.
Chile. Yeah, Chile.
You don't need to be like Chile. You can just say Chile.
Yeah.
But Chile is like the fakest.
I know.
Whatever. Anyway. So it's similar to the coup in 73 in a lot of ways, where this is a democratically elected socialist president, openly socialist. We're talking about Evo Morales. Evo. He's an actual democratic socialist. In the U.S., we do talk a lot about democratic socialism. He's always been elected. He's always abided by democratic norms and principles. And people are saying, oh, he's not legitimate because he got permission from the Supreme Court to run again for office.
Right.
So maybe you can criticize that, but that was legal. It was he went to the Supreme Court to get permission to run again.
Which overturned the Constitution.
There was a constitutional limitation, but it's through the Supreme Court. Right. And then people say, well, he stacked the court.
Right, he packed the court.
And it's like, he, as a president, as an elected president, you can put... If there are open seats on the Supreme Court, you can put people in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, Obama didn't do that, but Trump's doing it.
Yeah, and if Obama had done that, we'd be a lot better off.
Exactly. And actually, today there are stories that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is actually sick. So you can bet that if she unfortunately dies, that we're doomed because Trump... So like
gets another guy up there on the Dems, of course.
So what they're criticizing...
Because they confirmed a fucking... sexual assaulter with no challenges based on, and they thought, of course, again, the FBI would save them.
And then, well, what was the thing? Buffing, whatever.
Which
oh god, disgusting creep.
Yeah, really disgusting. And they didn't look into other women who had stories. It was like the Anita Hill thing all over again.
Yeah, well, but it's also a sign of how the right wing. They don't care. If they're in power, they're going to do these things because they want to govern.
They understand how power works.
And then someone who is elected, who's a leftist, is comes into power, and then he puts people on the Supreme Court, and they're like, oh, well, you can't do that. It's like, no, that's...
Right.
Anyway, so...
Right, so it's a legal process. You may not like it. You may not like people overturning term limits. Fine, but that doesn't make it illegal. And it certainly doesn't make it so that you... kick the guy out before his term is even up.
Exactly.
So if you're going to be a stickler for democracy and rule of law, you'd say, okay, we don't like this, but he has to fill out his, you know, the rest of his term. And then, but again, this is not about democracy. This is not about rule of law.
Not at all.
And there are two things that they do. They say, oh, he went to the Supreme Court and which he packed and stacked. Sounds like, packed and it sounds like Shoop, the song Shoop. Hey, yeah, I want
to shoop, baby, shoop. I don't know what that is, but...
You packed in your stack, especially in the back, brother. Want to thank your mother for a butt like that. Can I get some fries with that shake, shake, boobie? Salt and pepper.
Oh, salt and pepper. Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing that they complain about is the fact that he had... There were voting irregularities, which is not true. They just... His lead increased because of the way that the votes came in. We see this all the time.
Well, because Evo Morales is from the indigenous community. Right. Nearly two-thirds of the Bolivian population is indigenous. And the elite in the country, like throughout Latin America, has for decades been dominated, for centuries, been dominated by the European descendant elite who are lighter-skinned, who are rich, who are right-wing, and who control the significant natural gas and lithium reserves in Bolivia, which we can talk about. Yeah. Which are the, you know, these are the cash commodities used to fund the social programs that Evo created.
Right. What he reduced poverty by 40%.
He reduced extreme poverty by 60% and overall poverty by 42%. And especially in rural areas, because the thing about, so I'm going to answer the vote question, but I'm explaining that his support base largely comes from rural areas.
Right.
Which is mostly indigenous. Yeah. So on the night of the voting, the votes, first of all, there's this myth being spread by the opposition and corporate media outlets, irresponsibly, it's not true, that he was counting, and that initially the government was counting, the electoral body, the TSE was counting, and then suddenly the power went out and then the votes came. That's not true. What happened is that there was a preliminary estimate. It wasn't the official vote.
Right.
There was an estimate as the votes were coming in, and that estimate went out for a bit, but it wasn't the actual official vote count. And then because they were waiting for all of the rural votes to come in, because it's easy to have an estimate for urban votes because it's so concentrated in one area.
Right.
Bolivia is a pretty big country. They were waiting for all the rural votes to come in. And of course they expected that the rural votes would be disproportionately in support of Morales and his party, which is called the Movement Toward Socialism, MAS, the MAS. So as the votes came in later in the night, the lead between him and the neoliberal candidate, the right-wing opposition candidate, Carlos Mesa, increased, and he won the election. But the thing is...
Morales won the election.
Morales won the election in the first round. What's interesting, there are a few things to say here. One, even the opposition doesn't dispute the fact that he won the election regardless. What they dispute is that he won it by the 10% threshold needed to avoid a runoff election. Everyone knows that he still won the first round.
Right.
So in the worst case scenario,
for argument's sake,
you would have to go to a runoff election.
Right.
But of course, they just had a military coup.
Right.
But not just
it's
that.
A lot easier.
But we were talking about Mark Weisbrot. Weisbrot is a major economist. He's unlike most economists. He's not a neoliberal hack. Yeah. I mean, but he's a serious economist, and he helps run this DC think tank, the Center for Economic and Policy Research, which is basically the only good think tank in DC. Yeah. I mean, the think tank in my mind is associated with like the fiery depths of hell.
Right. But... Neera Tanden, AKA Neera Tanden. Yeah. I said it, not Ben. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been blocked from her by her so for so long. I forgot. Yeah. I kind of forget about her, but. Yeah, I mean, the CAP is Center for American Progress, where think tank is funded by the Emirati monarchy and big corporations. Anyway, so CEPR is one of the Center for Economic and Policy Research is one of the only think tanks not funded by large corporations. And they did a statistical analysis of the publicly available voting data from Bolivia. And they found that all of the votes mapped onto like a curve that was a statistical model for what they expected the results to be. So they found no evidence of irregularities and no evidence, especially of fraud. Mm-hmm. The Organization of American States, which helped oversee this coup, which is just a U.S. tool. It was created by the U.S. during the Cold War as a coalition of the anti-communist governments in Latin America. And it's nearly two-thirds of its funding come from the U.S. So the OAS basically is just rubber stamps what the U.S. does. And they released a statement that was very short saying that there was fraud and irregularities in the election. They didn't cite any evidence. So at every level, there has been distortions, deceit, frankly, lies to justify what is obviously a military coup. And who did they install? Christian fascists. I mean, these are people. I mean, we can talk about some of the names, but today's the 13th. Yesterday on the 12th, the far-right opposition anointed this far-right opposition politician, whose name is Janine Añez. This is an extreme Christian fundamentalist. The first thing she did as supposed president, unelected president, she went to the presidential palace with a giant Bible. You should actually show a video of this.
She
had a giant Bible.
Nothing that matters. It's just funny because there's not a lot of blondes.
Well, you
in
have
Bolivia.
You kind
of
have blonde.
Yeah, stolen valor is what someone told me once. Stolen valor as a Jew. But yeah, but it's not as like the optics of me. First of all, I'm not president anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not installing a coup.
Well, and Bolivia is a two-thirds indigenous country.
Saying, yeah,
and you
have, yeah. Okay.
So. CNN in Espanol, which is just, you know, it's worse than CNN here, which is bad enough.
Yeah.
They posted this video of her holding a giant Bible and she's walking into the presidential palace and she's saying, Jesus is returning. I mean,
how do we know she's not onto something? Could be true. Ye of little faith.
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, there's a few things we can talk about here also. We can talk about the fact that Añez, this is... This woman who has the dyed blonde hair, Añez, this article is in the Brazilian media, and they just exposed that she is the aunt of a drug trafficker who was arrested in 2017 with 400 kilograms of cocaine.
Well, that means she comes from a hardworking family. Well, not the smartest, because they shouldn't have been busted. But industrious, right?
And this is insane because the opposition, they often claim that Morales was they call him a narco dictator.
Yeah, how is that possible? Like, okay.
And then if you look, this is her with a giant, that is,
oh my
how
God.
Did she
okay.
even
it's
get
like
a Bible that big?
It's like Disney-sized Bible. It's like, I don't even know what to call it. It's like Super-sized Me Bible. Okay, let's.
Super-sized
so,
Me Bible.
Let's play this.
This is like, you know, like men who are like insecure. This is like, you're insecure in your faith because you have to have like the largest.
Sorry about your penis for women.
This is the equivalent for Christian fascists. She's saying
the Bible
is returning to the palace. And you can pause it now. All right, you can go back. You can transition back. Now, so what is the significance of that? The significance of that is that this is a country that's two-thirds indigenous. And what they're saying, she also has numerous tweets where you can
show
them too.
She has
tweets where this is the unelected president who's been appointed in Bolivia. And no, if you just go back to my Twitter feed, you can find.
Oh, you'll find, you have her tweets?
No, yeah, I have her tweets and go down.
I gotta follow her.
Yeah. Yeah, you can transition again for people who are watching.
Okay, let's
so,
transition, yeah.
So for people who are watching, we're talking about the coup in Bolivia, and this is the far right unelected leader who's been installed as the supposed president.
Now, did they go with her as opposed to the guy running against Morales because they wanted to seem like they weren't choosing sides?
The reason they picked her is because she claimed she was the next in command to be the president of the Senate, but she actually wasn't the president of the Senate. The president of the Senate is a leftist politician who's also a very young feminist, by the way, who's like 30, 31 years old. And she's from the ruling party and movement towards socialism. She should be, according to the constitutional order of powers, right? It should be the president and the vice president who resign, but then after would be the president of the Senate. And she, the leftist, this young woman, should be the actual president, but the coup mongers are preventing her. Those are the tweets right there.
I know.
The coup mongers are preventing her from actually being the actual president, and instead they went illegally beyond her and are installing this far-right Christian extremist who's, frankly, a fascist.
Yeah, who we're going to talk about in 1 second. But I just want to make sure people watch me. Look what I'm doing now. I'm going to her Twitter account.
Yeah.
Okay, here she is, Janine.
Yes.
Okay, I'm following you, Janine. You just got another follower. She has not done it. Okay, she's very selective. She's only following 476 people. We should look at who she's following.
Who she follows?
Yeah.
By the way, look at this. Who has recognized her? The fascist regime in Brazil.
Yeah, right.
And they're saying the Brazilian, my Portuguese
Brazilian
is kind of weak, but saying the Brazilian congratulates her for assuming constitutionally
becoming
the president.
President of Bolivia.
And her determination to work.
Brazil,
my Portuguese
has her back.
Is pretty weak.
Yeah, if anyone speaks Portuguese,
I just do this thing where I take Spanish and like try to turn it into Portuguese.
I know, same thing. Wait, what's Brazilian government congratulates Senator for constitutionally assuming the president is welcome to determination to work for the country's pacification and prompt general elections. Brazil wants to deepen fraternal friendship with Bolivia.
So, and as you all probably know, Brazil has a fascist leader, Jair Bolsonaro. And Bolsonaro
was part of the military dictatorship and openly praises torturers and torture.
And he told a female senator, he said, "You're so ugly, you don't deserve to be raped.
You're too ugly to get raped, yeah."
And he said that if his son
was gay, he'd hope
he died in a car
crash or something. Kind of
he
weird
also
specific
said,
way to go, but...
And he also said for another son, someone asked him, "What if your son was in a relationship with a black woman?" He said, "He's too smart for that."
Oh, yeah, right.
But even worse than all of that, he said the worst thing about Pinochet, the fascist Chilean dictator, is that he didn't kill enough. He tortured. He should have killed more people. So the Brazilian fascist regime has recognized her. Juan Guaido, who is
the fake president,
who controls nothing. And this 32-year-old who 87% of Venezuelans had never heard of until the Trump administration appointed him president in January, they're using the same tactics now in Bolivia, except in Bolivia, the president was actually overthrown.
I'm thanking the UK for recognizing it. Who's that?
Boris Johnson. Ugh. And then, of course, Juan Guaido here.
Juan
Guaido, who's the fake president in Venezuela who was installed. If you look behind her, there are two flags, right?
Yeah.
The flag on the left is the longtime recognized flag, the national flag of Bolivia. On the right is the Wipala flag, which is an indigenous flag used by Andean indigenous communities. In the 2009 constitution that was democratically elected on by the Bolivian people under Evo Morales, he had a democratic referendum and more than 61% of the population voted to recognize this constitution. So this flag on the right, the Wipala flag, is this indigenous flag. In the 2009 constitution, which was voted on democratically by 61% of the population, the constitution turned Bolivia into what they call the plurinational state, which for the first time in Bolivia's entire history recognizes indigenous communities, which make up nearly two-thirds of the country, as part of the country, as part of the government. And the Wipala flag is now the dual flag of Bolivia. So it has two flags, and they're both... And if you look at police and military on their badges, they have both of the flags. And there have been videos published of these coup-mongering right-wing police and military forces cutting off the Wipala flag, cutting off the indigenous flag. There's also been many videos...
Cutting it off from where? Sorry.
Cutting it off of their badge. And there's also been many videos of the opposition burning the Whipala flag. So that says everything symbolically about what they're doing is that they're symbolically trying to cut indigenous people out of the life of Bolivia.
But why is it still there? Why didn't she leave? Why did she leave it there?
Well, because
bad PR.
It's bad PR because she's trying to say what they're trying to say is that she is the constitutional president because they purged the woman before her who should actually who's the actual president of the Senate, who's actually constitutionally next in line. And because they forced Evo Morales, the president, and the vice president to resign. So they're saying, oh, she's the constitutional president. And today they had a fake vote in the Senate. And the military forces violently prevented elected members of the leftist party from entering the Congress, the Senate, in order to have the vote. So they had a fake vote that was stacked with only opposition members to recognize her as supposed president. This is a totally illegitimate fake vote. She's totally unelected. She is not the president constitutionally. This is, they're trying to cement the coup legally, and they're trying to use these tactics that, I mean, it's just, it's so absurd. So something else that we should show here is that I tweeted some of these tweets. Okay. So this far-right unelected fake president, Agnes, is trying to delete the evidence, but she's extremely racist.
Oh, yeah.
So these are some of her tweets. So she, keep in mind, this is the Christian fascist. The first thing she did as president.
Oh, my God.
She said, she's basically saying that, like, let's have a new year, a new dawn without the indigenous peoples. She's calling them satanic.
And nobody replaces God.
Nobody replaces God. And then go to the other tweet. This is even worse. She's like, I'm dreaming of a free Bolivia without the indigenous satanic rituals. And she's saying, the city is not for Indians. They need to go back to the Altiplano and El Chaco. So she's telling the indigenous people, get out of our country. Wow. You don't belong here. You're satanic.
That's, wow. Well, and she's at least deleting she wears on her sleeve. I wonder why she would delete
you
them.
Can try. Yeah, exactly. So quick note on lithium. Bolivia has 50 to 70% of the world's known lithium reserves. In fact, a week before the coup, Evo Morales canceled a deal with the German company to process the lithium to use to create batteries. And he did that right before the coup because there were protests from the indigenous community who didn't want to mine the lithium. That lithium, by the way, is going to be needed for a Green New Deal, for renewable energy, for electric batteries, for cars, for phones, for computers. Lithium is one of the most important minerals in the world, and you can bet that multinational corporations really want to get access to that. So that's right. Definitely a huge factor in this. And this is the point about democratic socialism, right? And this is why you have all these people in the U.S. who are criticizing Evo Morales and Maduro and Chavez and all of these elected leaders. It's like, they are democratic socialists. What do you want? This is what actual democratic socialism looks like. And one of the reasons during the Cold War, you had more of these governments that were so-called authoritarian, although many of them were not nearly as authoritarian as we've been led to believe by years of propaganda. It was because they knew that if they had these more open democratic processes, they were afraid of constant coups, constant assassinations. Like Chilean.
Yeah, you know, Che Guevara was in Bolivia.
Killed in Bolivia with the help of the CIA.
He was killed in Bolivia. But he went to he was in Guatemala when they overthrew Arbenz in 54, which helped radicalize him and convince him that you needed armed struggle because they were like a reformist, you know, socialist, but not very armed. And then remember in Chile, they'd taken away all the arms from the... From the Chileans. So
in Bolivia, there are a lot of indigenous people with arms, with weapons, and they're actually fighting in the streets right now. We published an article at the Gray Zone about how the leaders of the military coup were trained at the School of the Americas. Shocking.
Trained by the U.S. military. Suspected, but now we're going to see something, right? So here's the video. Is Medea Benjamin got tried to arrest her. Sorry. So let me just do a transition.
Medea's amazing.
Like she's thrown in jail and locked up. No, actually, they tried to arrest her. Hold on. Apparently, it was an attack on Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Anya tweeted this. She said, watch, police attempt to arrest Code Pink's Medea Benjamin on trumped-up assault charges over activism to protect Venezuela's former embassy this spring. Oh, this comes after police arrested Max Blumenthal as part of an intimidation and revenge campaign.
And I'll explain. So colleague, and keep in mind, this was 5 months ago. They were protecting the embassy five months ago.
Oh, so they're saying this happened like a while ago? So police accused Code Pink founder Medea Benjamin of assaulting Democratic Congresswoman and Venezuela coup monger Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Insane.
The U.S. people must become aware of their government's coordinated crackdown on political dissent and stand with Medea.
It's blatant repression.
So they tried to detain her without a warrant and opted not to proceed with arrest. After reviewing footage of the alleged incident, we see once again how local D.C. police are colluding
yeah,
with the State Department and right-wing Venezuelan putschists in order to crush dissent. I should note that the attempted arrest came just moments after Code Pink interrupted a press conference held by Venezuelan coup official Carlos Vecchio on Capitol grounds.
This is terrifying. My colleague Max Blumenthal, if you go to the Gray Zone, you can find an article I wrote. Yeah. He was arrested 5 months, after bogus charges of fake charges of assault, and from the far right Venezuelan opposition, the Trump loving racist Venezuelan opposition that was saying the N-word to
Call the woman a bitch. Yeah,
yeah, and assaulting. They were the ones assaulting people.
Oh my God, they blocked legal legal transfer of food.
Yeah, and also they illegally took over Venezuela's sovereign embassy, which is illegal under international law.
Right.
But even aside from that, it violates the Vienna Convention.
Right.
But aside from that, a crazy thing that we didn't even notice until after Max's arrest and after he published the article, the police marked Max as armed and dangerous.
Oh my God.
Which you only do in 3% of cases, which was
basically... Wait, you mean when they picked him up?
They sent seven armed police.
They said he was
and they
marked
surrounded
armed
his
and
house.
Dangerous when they were going to pick him up.
They surrounded his house with seven police and were preparing to knock the door down until he opened it up and he was like, what are you doing?
Right.
Because he was like, what are these people around my house?
We're having Max on next week's Useful Idiots, by the way, as our guest. I'm sure people on Twitter
great
are going to go
show,
crazy and be like, shut it down, Rolling Stone, what are you doing? You're so annoying.
And anyway, so they marked him as armed and dangerous. Max doesn't have weapons? That's insane. What that is that's the U.S. government telling Max, they're like, this is a threat. Only 3% of people are marked armed and dangerous, which gave police the right to shoot
him. Right. That's so scary. How'd you find this out?
Because it was marked on paperwork he found later after the arrest.
That's so scary. I'm going to tell him to bring a copy of that.
And for 36 hours, he was held in jail for nearly 2 days. And for 36 hours, he couldn't talk to his lawyer.
Which is illegal, right?
It's totally
illegal.
Don't
you have a right to...
They denied the right to talk to his lawyer. I don't know. They just refused it.
Wow.
I mean, this is blatant political intimidation.
Right. 5 months after the warrant.
5 months after. And it's because of a reporting of Venezuela. It's obvious.
Right. It was like right
and
after you guys
by the way,
something.
The actual charge, it's not this fake allegation of assault from this
Teddy punched an old lady in the stomach.
Yeah, it's totally
Sorry.
Fake. But it's not her name v. Max Blumenthal. The actual lawsuit is United States of America v. Max Blumenthal.
Wow.
This is
she's
the
very powerful
U.S.
lady.
Government.
Big, she's Miss America, apparently. in a different way.
She's probably like, no, I mean, whatever.
No, I
probably
saw her
all these people are related.
Yeah,
probably like the third cousin of Leopoldo Lopez.
I
mean, they're all related.
This
last thing I would say
that's,
on this like so-called authoritarian thing.
Yeah.
And this is why when people criticize Cuba, they're like, Cuba isn't democratic enough. I mean, first of all, I would argue Cuba is still more democratic than the U.S. But even aside from that, in Cuba, I guess I kind of ruined this. I can't ask this question now, but who has more assassination attempts against him than any other person
Fidel
in
Castro.
History?
Fidel? Right. 64 or something?
638. There's actually, and that was just up until 2008, I believe. There was a documentary made.
Oh, yeah.
Where they declassified us. There were 638 assassination attempts.
They tried to put a bomb in
just
his...
Just from the U.S.
Right. They tried to put a bomb in his cigar.
Yeah.
They tried to put a bomb in some coral reef when he went swimming.
When he went diving.
Yeah.
They gave him a poison diving suit.
How do you avoid that?
He just didn't put it on. He was like, I'm not wearing this Yankee diving suit.
Oh, my God. So, speaking of the types of people who are, and then we'll get into more of your research and what you found out about the Christo fascists, but I just want people to see, this is like an incredibly disturbing video of a female mayor in Bolivia. Patricia Arce is her name. And this is incredibly disturbing. They had, they threw paint on her. They made her march around. But here are you can see their subtitles here. It's one of the most disturbing things I've seen yet. And I feel like there's more footage of this disgusting stuff. I guess it's just because the world we live in, there's more technology. But I feel like I've seen more about from this coup than I have from any other coup.
And keep in mind, they're yelling at this woman who's in a rural area. She's a democratically elected mayor from the Movement Towards Socialism Party, right. MAS. And they're yelling, Evo resign, at her.
Right, yeah.
Like, what?
Okay,
she's so not Evo Morales. She's so not the disgusting. President. They're straight up fascists. And these are the people the U.S. is backing. And not just the U.S., Colombia and Brazil. And the OAS, which is just a tool of the U.S. All right, but yeah, I mean... And what's crazy is in response to this, oh the... So what's interesting, and we can talk about my report now, is that the opposition in Bolivia, there are different wings to it. There's like the far-right fascists like them. And then there are the so-called more moderate people. Right. And the opposition candidate for president is named Carlos Mesa. And he's the so-called more moderate. He's right. just a total neoliberal. He's not violent, but he just wants to privatize sure. everything and give the right. natural resources.
So is Jeanine Agnes? She's
just far right.
She's not. But is she part of these fascists?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're saying that Mesa is like your run-of-the-mill right-wing
technically
guy.
His party claims to be a left-wing party, but they're just neoliberal.
Okay, yeah.
So because the right-wing is so...
Oh, so that's why they put her in and not him, because he's not right and Christian and fascist enough.
Well, no, and it's similar to Venezuela. In Venezuela...
Right, there's an opposition that's not
the
quite...
The mainstream opposition right. claims to be socialist. It's Capriles. He's the mainstream opposition because... The left is so popular in these countries because these leftist governments have brought education,
right.
healthcare, dropping poverty, integrating oppressed nations and indigenous people and Afro descendants into the country for the first time. So the right can't win an election. They right. have support from 5 to 10% of the elite white population.
Right.
So they have to run these candidates who claim to be left wing but are just neoliberals. And it's like the whole Obama thing. And this is my article at the Gray Zone. I published it with Max Blumenthal, looking at who the forces are behind this fascist coup. And Carlos Mesa is not even, he's not the muscle behind the coup. The muscle behind the coup is this guy, Luis Fernando Camacho. And Camacho, you can go down a little bit, you can see he's here. And
that's a Bible on the flag. Okay,
so what happened is they stormed the presidential palace after pushing out Evo Morales. And they brought in a Bible, and he declared...
But that's a normal-sized Bible. It's not like the Disney Bible that the other one was holding.
He's slightly more secure with.
Yeah, right.
So and then these Christian fascists, they shouted, Pachamama will never return to the palace. That's the
Mother
Andean
Earth, like,
indigenous
yeah.
Mother Earth spirit. Bolivia belongs to Christ.
So
Bolivia
scary.
Es de Cristo. This guy Camacho, who led the coup attempt, he was the leader of this group called the Youth Union of Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is the richest city in Bolivia, and it's the center of all the elites, the right-wing elites. And they have this fascist youth group that was founded by former Nazi collaborators who fled Europe after World War II. And like many of these fascists, they fled to Argentina,
right.
Chile,
yeah.
and to Bolivia. This is their video. Like, they weren't hiding it. They're just literal fascists. When I say fascists, it's not just like
right.
they're marching around doing fascist salutes.
What
and then
saying?
Go down to the okay. literal Nazis saluting.
Okay.
Right
okay.
Here.
Oh, this is great. Who are these people?
This is from the same youth group.
Okay. So he
this
helped
is the Youth
lead
Union of Santa Cruz.
This group.
He started his political career as the vice president of this group. And then he's now the president of what's called the Pro Santa Cruz Committee, Civic
okay.
Committee. And then this is the youth wing.
This is really good.
This is the youth wing of the group that he's the leader of.
And the U.S. Embassy in Bolivia has described the
even
youth,
they
the, yeah these members as racist and militant, and they frequently attack pro-MAS government people and installations.
But by the way, even though the U.S. Embassy admitted that, they
right.
still supported them.
Right. Yeah. And in
the
fact,
US
they
Embassy
warned. They're like
them.
They're nervous about what do they say? They say the youth union of the pro-autonomy groups. They are forming a.
Guardia Civil
to guard polling places and prefecture installations. The youth union has boasted to the press that it signed up 7,000 members to participate in the Guardia Civil. The number is likely inflated, but many of those who have signed are militant. But where is it they say... Oh, he says, the attack was televised. No, the government is certainly looking to... Okay, hold on, sorry, let me... Members of the youth union have frequently attacked pro-MAS government people and installations, including the government TV channel.
MAS is the leftist party.
It was ruling party. Morales' party. Their actions frequently appear more racist than politically motivated. Several months ago, a group of mainly white youth union members attacked an Altiplano migrant who they alleged was pro-MAS. The attack was televised. Note, the government is certainly looking to capture on video an attack by a light-skinned pro-autonomy supporter on an indigenous person or persons on or around referendum day as a means to discredit the entire referendum process. End note.
All right, I'll explain
so,
this.
So, such events provide fodder for the government's arguments that the Santa Cruz leadership is anti-indigenous and seeks to separate the country.
Well, them calling the indigenous people satanic.
I know. That's not enough. I like how on. They're like, look, they are racist, but watch out because they're going to use this as an excuse to justify why they're racist. Yeah.
So, I'll explain this really quickly. A really good British journalist, Matt Kenner, did a report about how the U.S. government was supporting these groups. They're talking about autonomy. These are leaked U.S. government cables from WikiLeaks. So we have to thank Julian Assange, who's being tortured and is a political prisoner, for publishing this truthful information. These leaked documents show that the U.S. government was, and also Matt Kenner's report shows, the U.S. government was supporting these fascist groups because they were trying to basically secede from the rest of Bolivia. Santa Cruz is the biggest city and the richest area. It's the whitest part of the country where all the European fascists who fled after World War II moved to. And also it has many elites who controlled the gas reserves. So this fascist leader, Camacho, who's the guy who stormed the presidential palace, the so-called leader of the opposition, he is a close ally of this Croatian oligarch named Branko Marinković. Branko Marinković, who didn't change his name, and that's the name he uses, and he's a dual citizen of Bolivia and Croatia, and it's been alleged, although he denies it, that his family members were members of the Ustasha, which were Croatian fascists who collaborated with the Nazi occupiers, with Nazi Germany during World War II, and then after the Holocaust, many of them fled to Bolivia. So there's a significant elite Croatian population in Bolivia. Mm-hmm. Branko Marinković was the former leader of this opposition group backed by the U.S., which is called the Pro-Santa Cruz Civic Committee, which is this fascist group, and he's a total elite. Even the New York Times admitted that he is the scion of a rich oligarch family who control all of this land. Okay. This is Camacho, who is the coup leader, and this is a photo he took with his what he calls un gran amigo, his good friend, Branko Marinković, who's this Croatian fascist oligarch, because Marinković was the former leader of that group, the Pro-Santa Cruz Committee. That is the fascist group whose youth wing are the Nazi saluted people. So these are the extreme...
And he was wishing him happy birthday.
These are the extreme far-right opposition figures. This guy Marinković, where does he live? He doesn't live in Bolivia. He lives in Brazil, and he's a strong supporter of Bolsonaro. He's a strong supporter of Bolsonaro, and leaked recordings published by someone leaked recordings of the opposition that show that Brazil was involved in the coup attempt and that the Bolsonaro regime was supporting the attempt to overthrow the government. So these layers of literal fascists, of these networks who are linked, we expose in this article that you can read through. Look, this is the New York Times. I don't usually quote the New York Times favorably.
But when they're critical of some,
you should highlight that paragraph. Okay. New York Times acknowledged it described the area of Santa Cruz as a bastion of openly xenophobic groups like the Bolivian Socialist Falange, whose hand in-air salute draws inspiration from the fascist falange of the former Spanish dictator Franco. By the way, I love how they
say... That's the New York Times,
whose hand in-air salute, i.e. Nazi salutes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess they went like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the difference? I should know this.
And if you look,
I guess in Spain, they just go like that.
Yeah,
yeah they
well,
just
no
go
one
like
can
that.
See us, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You probably shouldn't do this on camera anyway.
Hold on.
No. You don't want to do this on camera.
Yeah, you don't want to see me. Yeah, but they just raise their hand up.
Well, you can go back. Just don't do it on camera. You can
I thought you were going to say you can do that because you're Jewish. Barbie, what's this? The Bolivian Socialist Falange was a fascist group that provided safe haven to Nazi war criminal Klaus Barbie. During the Cold War, former Gestapo torture expert Barbie was repurposed by the CIA through its Operation Condor program to help exterminate communism across
And then go down, the and then I point out, despite its antiquated name, like the German so-called National Socialists, this far-right extremist group, the Bolivian Socialist Falange, was in fact violently anti-leftist, committed to killing
Socialists. And the Falange in Spain was the right wing, was like the Spanish
They're
fascist
fascists.
Party. Yeah.
But that was at a time when, like the opposition in Bolivia, they pretend to be socialists because socialism was so popular.
Yeah, and they were in a way, you know, they were right-wing, they were somewhat populist in, like, in Spain, but they were violent Christian
but the
fascists.
Nazis,
yeah.
But the Nazis oversaw, not so fun historical fact, the Nazis oversaw more privatization than any other government in Europe at the time.
Right.
Because what they did is they would just expropriate.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't
companies.
Have said that. What I meant is they tried to culturally tap into, they tried to be the alternative to Marxism on the right.
Well, it's like Steve Bannon's whole thing. He's
Steve even Bannon though they weren't working class, but they tried to appeal to working class.
Well, Steve Bannon's, his whole argument, he says, we need to turn the Republican Party into a workers' party, which is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. But that's, I mean, because they're trying to square the circle of, I mean, it's not so much squaring the circle, because you can see with Pinochet, you can combine fascism and neoliberalism. It's very possible.
Right, yeah. The Chicago boys.
So anyway, so we explain in this article, you can go through the literal fascists. And we have a photo in here of the leader, you can come back to it, of the leader of the Ustasha. This is the Croatian fascist who collaborated with Nazi Germany, the leader meeting with Hitler. And Max Blumenthal, the co-author, joked, he was like, this is like, we actually had a legitimate reason to have a photo of Hitler. Like, this is, I mean, that's not even a joke. That's just like, that's exactly what happened. Like, usually on the internet, when people say, oh, you're like Hitler, Godwin's law.
Right.
No,
yeah.
Literally, this is like two degrees of separation removed.
The Kevin Bacon game, but instead with Hitler.
Yeah, that's the joke Max made. He was like, it's like the Kevin Bacon game.
I'm telling you, Max and I have that deadpan Jewish in the Sikwa.
You're sharing a brain link.
Yeah, exactly. And tell us about the other article that you guys published.
Yeah, you can cut to it
in... This is by Jeb
Sprague. Yeah.
Jeb.
So we just published this. Top Bolivian coup plotters were School of the America grads served as attaches in FBI police programs. So this is pretty self-explanatory. So the leader of the Bolivian military, whose name, by the way, is Williams Caliman, and obviously he sounds very indigenous.
Yeah,
I mean, these are all the elites
yeah.
who are the descendants of the Europeans.
Right.
Williams Caliman. He's the one who basically threatened Morales and told him, you have to step down.
Oh yeah, we have to show the video of his ransacked house, yeah.
Caliman, the head of the military, was trained by the US military at the School of the Americas. And most of the leadership of the Bolivian military was trained by the US military and worked with US government organizations, including the FBI. There was a police training program with the police in Bolivia and the FBI, and part of the police are involved in this coup as well.
And the School of the Americas, just so people know, is a place that's called School of Assassins, also SOA, School of the Americas, School of the Assassins. And they've trained tons of, you know, right-wing people involved in torture and human rights, you know, and crimes against humanity. Yeah. There are a lot of does it still operate, or they change the name?
Yeah, they change the name, but it's the same
but
thing.
But it's the same thing.
It's
you know,
still
the,
this
it's in Georgia.
Prison.
It's in Georgia. Yeah, and they always try to people are always protesting it to try to shut it down. But there's leaked audio, right?
Yeah. So there were leaked audio recordings, 16 audio recordings. I can just explain them because they're all in Spanish, but they have Bolivian opposition figures before the election plotting the coup. And they said that they had support from the U.S., the Trump administration. They also named Narco Rubio, Little Narco. And
Marco Rubio.
Whose family members are also linked to the drug trade, which is why people call him Narco Rubio.
Although who knows
all
because
of these,
he lies about his origins, but yeah.
Yeah, well,
but still,
well by
I'm
the
sure
way,
he, yeah.
Another lie from Little Narco is that Narco Rubio claims that his family
are left,
refugees.
Right, but they left before
they
Castro.
They left in 58 before the Cuban Revolution.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So
losers.
And also so does this speaking of, we're talking about Trotskyism, so does this major Trotskyite dude who has written tons of books attacking Che and attacking the Cuban Revolution, Samuel Farber, who has lived almost all of his life in the US. His family fled when they were in 58.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, but getting back to this thing in Bolivia, so before the election, this is actually really crazy and it got buried.
Hmm.
Before the election, which happened on October 20th, on October 15th, Evo Morales gave a speech, and he said, this is the elected president of Bolivia, he said, we have proof that the opposition is planning a coup. Even if I win the election freely and fairly, they're going to overthrow me.
Right.
I have audio recordings that prove it. These were the audio recordings that were leaked, and they were leaked before the election happened. And I remember when I was in Venezuela, I spent nearly 3 months in Venezuela this past summer, in July, August, and September. Back then, I was talking with people who were hearing rumors. They were like, we've heard that a coup is being planned in Bolivia, and we're really worried about this coup. I was hearing about this for months, and I was worried people were really pessimistic, because in Latin America, everyone thinks there's always going to be a coup, because there's a history of the U.S. every few months organizes a coup, and I was worried they were being too pessimistic, but they knew it. They knew it months beforehand, and they have these recordings that prove that these military officials trained by the U.S., and this is just scratching the surface.
Right.
I'm sure in a few months we're going to find all of this stuff. Just like immediately after the coup against Salvador Allende in 1973, the first 9/11 attack, 1973, there were all these people we kept hearing, I was not alive, but there were all these people who were like, Salvador Allende, no, that he wasn't overthrown by the CIA. Come on, that's a conspiracy.
Exactly. Also, Mark Ames made a really good point about all this, which is that a lot of people are pulling the, but look, this is democracy, you know, the people who don't like Morales, they are pro-democracy because you can see them marching in the streets and protesting in the streets. And Mark Ames was like, yeah, just like they did under Pinochet. I mean, sorry, excuse me. Just like they did under Allende to install Pinochet, who was the... I can't even talk about the types of torture that they did on people, like on their genitals. But that's
especially
not even...
Women.
Yeah, I don't... There were like insertions of rodents. Do you know about that?
Yeah.
I mean, like...
They put rats in women's vaginas.
I know. I can't even like... Oh my God. So anyway, I know someone who survived that. Nieves, who's married to... I can't remember, but they're big activists. Her daughter's named... Rosa Victoria, because victory, you know, cause the fact that she was able to have a kid was a victory. It's so disgusting. I can't.
And the thing about it is, you know,
Nieves Aires.
The thing about Pinochet is that a lot of people know about Pinochet, but the thing is, there were similar far right dictatorships throughout Latin America supported by the U.S. and an operation we never
Argentina,
hear about,
yeah.
Operation
Condor, yeah.
In Spanish known as Plan Condor. And basically, what we're seeing is Plan Condor is back. Operation Condor is back. And there's all of these far-right fascist forces and dictatorships here in Honduras, Bolsonaro in Brazil, who illegally imprisoned Lula, who's now free finally.
But I'm afraid they're going to kill him.
Yeah. And we're seeing Operation Condor all over again. And the thing is, Pinochet was probably the worst, but Argentina had an equally, not equally, but extremely bloody dictatorship, right-wing dictatorship.
Uruguay.
That disappeared thousands and thousands of people. And I have friends, this really good journalist, Marco Terugi, who's actually in Bolivia right now. He's an Argentine journalist. His family members were disappeared, and they're still looking for family members.
Oh, yeah. The women, the grandmothers of the Plaza de Mayo, they've done all these DNA tests. They try to reunite. Most of the parents have been killed. They would take the kids. There's a movie about this called La Historia Oficial. They would take the kids whose parents had been killed or disappeared and give them to other families, often right-wing families. I met one of them. He was the found child, 88. He didn't have right-wing families, a family who raised him. But anyway,
It's so... I mean,
so you say
this
alluded
history's back,
alluded to in the leaked audio is that the coup attempt would be supported by various evangelical groups as well as by Colombian President Iván Duque, ex-Colombian President Álvaro Uribe, and most notably Brazil's neo-fascist President Jair Bolsonaro. The plotters also mentioned the strong support of ultra-right U.S. Senators Bob Menendez, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio, who is said to have had the ear of President Donald Trump when it comes to the U.S. foreign policy in the Western Hemisphere. By the way, I mean, Bob Menendez isn't even considered that right.
Well, yeah, that the wording of that's not great.
No,
but
it's
fine.
Ted
Cruz
just,
and Marco.
Yeah, definitely. But it's a testament to how on Latin America, because he's a huge anti-Cuba guy.
You should show them. Of course, the New York Times editorial board, which is just an arm of the U.S.
government. Yeah, which they called it, like, what would they say, tyranny is leaving?
Yeah, I mean, they endorsed the coup. Also, the most disturbing of all, Chris Murphy, who claims to be like this progressive, and he flexes his bona fides in foreign policy. You can challenge him back, but he also was like, it's good that Morales has been pushed out because, you know,
is he from
Connecticut?
Yeah.
Which is insane. And he was like, well, there should be a civilian transition. And it's like, well, there's not going to be a civilian transition.
Yeah.
You can say that, but it's not going to be it.
Right.
You have two options. You can continue with the actual democracy or have the fascist dictatorship. Pick one. And we know which one you've obviously picked. I'll give credit to two of the only people I've seen in U.S. politics who have released statements recognizing the coup.
Bernie.
The best was from Ilhan Omar, who was like, this is a coup. This is ridiculous. There should be a democratic process. And then Bernie released a pretty good statement as well. And he's saying it looks like a coup. You know, so he softened it a bit, but it was still a pretty good statement. And Bernie has also spoken out about the coup against Salvador Allende. So, yeah,
and spoke out. He gave, you know, in solidarity with Lula.
So, look, I mean, you know, no one's perfect. But yeah, considering everyone else, Bernie's statement isn't perfect. But considering everyone else in U.S. politics, that's as good as it gets.
Right.
And that's still good. Speaking also, of Bernie's statement on Ecuador and Chile were also really good.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even talked about this. So, listen to this. Ready? So, speaking of how terrible people are.
For people who don't know, this is the editor of Mother Jones. All right,
so we're showing you a tweet from Clara Jeffrey, who the only thing I can say is that I'm so glad Mother Jones isn't alive to see this. The editor of this newspaper.
A radical revolutionary socialist labor organizer who sacrificed, I mean, who like risked her life with scabs trying to kill her.
Yeah, goons. So this is what Clara tweets. Dicey times in Bolivia. Morales had taken several end runs around a democratic process. But let's hope it is a democratic process that succeeds him. And then you have Secretary Pompeo fully support the findings of the OAS official report recommending new elections in Bolivia to ensure a truly democratic process representative of the people's will. The credibility of the electoral system must be restored. So maybe it's not a good look, Clara Jeffrey and every other lib making this point when you and Pompeo have the same line. That's just a short... You know, short.
Honestly, with those two statements, her statement's even worse.
Why?
Of those, I mean, they're both awful.
Yeah.
By the way, Pompeo, this isn't mentioned enough. Pompeo is one of those end timers who thinks.
Yeah, I didn't know Italians did that. He became evangelical.
He thinks we're the last generation on earth.
Yeah.
These people are they're fat. I don't know, whatever. I haven't cussed yet, so I guess I won't cuss.
Yeah, no.
They are literal, like, Christian end timers who think we're all going to die in an apocalypse. They're so insane.
We didn't even talk about where Morales is. He's in Mexico. Because, of course,
thanks to Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who's the first left-wing president in Mexico in 50 years.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that Guaido supporters were swatting Max Blumenthal. They really were hoping to have him killed. That's really scary. That's much scarier than I knew. And we're going to... Don't forget to tune into Useful Idiot because we're going to be talking to him.
Yeah, we're reading your comments here. Thanks for all the great comments. Yeah. Someone asked about Janice Vacalaza. Janice or Janice, I don't know how she pronounces it. Janice Vacalaza. So, that, by the way, vaca, which means cow, but it's actually, she abbreviates it, but vaca is a very...
Who is this person?
She is an opposition activist, and vaca is associated, it's a very elite last name. Mm. The vaca family tends to be very, very rich, and they're like the elite oligarchs. And Daza, this activist, quick story. We did a story at the Gray Zone about this. In fact, if you don't mind, I'll get this up so people can see it.
Oh, yeah.
So we did a story a few months ago about the beginning of the coup attempt. And this was happening when there were fires in the Amazon, right? And it was getting all this mainstream coverage. And then the corporate media were trying to blame Evo Morales, an indigenous leftist environmentalist, for the fires, even though the fires were caused by Brazilian capitalists who were given permission by fascist president Jair Bolsonaro to just demolish the rainforest. Jair Bolsonaro proudly called himself, he said, I am Captain Chainsaw. He said, I'm pro-business, which is just like, means he's just going to destroy everything for capitalist gain and profits. So he gave them permission to just demolish all this area. And he said, I'm going to bulldoze the Amazon and indigenous communities. So you have this fascist who has pledged to bulldoze the indigenous communities and destroy the Amazon and called himself Captain Chainsaw. But there was this campaign in corporate media not to blame him, but to blame an indigenous socialist environmentalist, Evo Morales, who went to the United Nations and gave a speech and said, we should pass a resolution recognizing the rights of Mother Earth. And, you know, have like this, you know, like, remember like in the 1700s, the Declaration of the Rights of Man?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we need a Declaration of the Rights of Mother Earth. Like, we need a Declaration of Rights for the environment. So, of course, this propaganda campaign blamed Evo Morales. And who are the people helping to lead this campaign? They were U.S. government funded regime change activists who were attacking Evo Morales supposedly from the left, even though they're just neoliberals. It's the same thing again. And Janice Vacadaza was one of the main people who was behind this attempt. And she was, and there, unfortunately, there were some groups in the US that kind of got on board, including not just the US and the West, including Extinction Rebellion was kind of tricked into this, but although they kind of distanced themselves later after. So here's a report of the Gray Zone. Western regime
change. Bolivia is burning. Who will stop its fires? That's from the New York Times, yeah.
Western regime change operatives launch campaign to blame Bolivia's Evo Morales for Amazon fires. So you can check that out of the Gray Zone. And we go through this photo here, by the way, is in the middle, Janice Vacadaza, and to her left is a
normal guy.
Sergio Popovich, who's one of the, he is a founder of this group called Canvas. And Canvas is a U.S. government-funded regime change group that was created to overthrow the color revolutions, overthrow the left-wing governments in Eastern Europe during the color revolutions. And he was involved in this group before called Otpor. Otpor was the original regime change group. So she's linked to all of these U.S. government-funded groups, the NED groups. She posted stuff like this on Facebook with Evo Morales with like a Hitler mustache.
Oh my God.
And this is the thing, emergency, this is her group, Rios de Pie. And they launched this campaign. They were launching for so-called humanitarian intervention in Bolivia, SOS Bolivia, let's make a trend. And they were calling for U.S. intervention, and Extinction Rebellion got tricked. And this is why you got to be careful with some of these environmental groups, because, of course, I support environmentalism. Climate change is a threat to the world. But the problem is there's a lot of these liberal groups that adopt what some people call, you know, imperialist environmentalism, where they lecture people in the global south. Meanwhile,
they vilify them.
U.S. is responsible for over half of trash production in the entire world. It's 5% of the population, and it's half of the garbage in the world. And by the way, another, I mentioned in this, I helped do some research in this, and I found in this report that the U.S. embassy in Spain, the embassy of Spain, in Bolivia sponsored her TED talk. So it's not a good look if you are a Bolivian activist who claimed to be a leftist and your event is sponsored by the people who colonized your country for hundreds of years. And we have this quote in here which explains why they wanted to overthrow Morales so much. He gave his speech and he said, "We will always fight against colonialism and imperialism." And you can go through here, and she did this Harvard training, and we go through all this stuff. She works at this, you know, she's linked to these other Venezuelan regime change activists. So, you know, it's a long...
Did I see something about Joanna Hausman?
That's Joanna Hausman. This is Vacadaza, the Bolivian regime change activist, hanging out with Joanna Hausman, who is the regime change activist from Venezuela, who...
I guess she is, but this is the woman who wrote a New York Times op-ed, right?
And animated video.
She's very good at doing Spanish accents, by the way, from different countries. Not that that absolves her.
Although she's not funny. I've never laughed at her.
She's not that funny, but her impersonations are good. But her father is...
Ricardo Hausman.
Right, who had to step down after you guys...
The major economic advisor for Juan Guaido, and he was his representative to the Inter-American Development Bank.
And he told... What did he tell Anya Parampil, who spoke to, like, go to hell?
Go to hell. So all of these regime change networks are linked. They're funded by the U.S. government. And it's just a transparent coup. I mean, so she's a Freedom Fellow at Thor Halvorsen's Human Rights Foundation, which we expose in those pieces. Human Rights Foundation is a fake human rights group. It's a right-wing lobby group, and it's led by a Venezuelan oligarch, and Thor Halvorsen, whose name is obviously very Venezuelan, Thor Halvorsen. He's a descendant.
Sounds like a Nazi.
His grandfather, they're not, he is a super right-winger. His grandfather was the representative of the Norwegian monarchy's consul inside Venezuela during the years of the Pacto Punto Fijo, like the two-party dictatorship before Hugo Chavez. And then his family members are the elite oligarchs of Venezuela.
Yeah.
So the point is that with all of these networks, you have elite oligarchs, European descendant, in Bolivia and Venezuela who were pushed out of power by these progressive socialist movements, and they've been desperately trying to get back hold of power ever since. And why? In Venezuela especially, these are people who maintain the monopoly on all of the imports, And they're also the people who used to control the oil reserves. Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world. And in the case of Bolivia, Camacho's family, the coup leader, his family members were oligarchs. They still are oligarchs who controlled companies that controlled the natural gas reserves of Bolivia and were exporting that natural gas. So they were profiting, but the country itself was not profiting from its own natural resources. So Evo Morales came in and he nationalized the gas reserves, which took away a lot of the wealth of some of these oligarch families who have been desperately trying to get power back ever since. So it's the same thing that happened way back in 1953 when Mohammad Mossadegh,
right,
in Iran, the first democratically elected leader of Iran, was overthrown in a CIA MI6 coup,
which
reinstalled the monarchy because he nationalized the Persian Anglo-Iranian Anglo-Persian. They changed the name several times, but the Anglo-Iranian oil company, right, which became British Petroleum, right, which became BP.
By the way, I referred to tyranny. So Lee Camp, I went on his show and he referred to this. I couldn't find it, but he just sent me the message. I texted him. So the New York Times on Monday, November 11th has a piece, Bolivia's leader resigns, heeding protesters' call. And it has a quote, the end of tyranny is like a pull quote.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Morales' populist legacy is marred by attempt to keep power. This is by Ernesto Londoño. Who I'm curious, I gotta look him up, see all what right. his deal is.
Quick rant moment. I'm gonna put on my rant half a second.
As opposed to your very measured objective hat you've been wearing. Yeah.
No, I gotta say, the people, it's so easy to oppose all of these CIA coups in 1973. We go back and we look at the New York Times headlines and all these people, and look what they said in 1973 when Allende was overthrown. They were overthrowing tyranny. These are the same people now. Not even 40 years from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, people are going to look back and be like, oh man, the New York Times and all these people who claim to be liberals and claim to be worse, people who claim to be on the left are welcoming, some people who claim to be socialists are welcoming this coup that was obviously a CIA operation.
I know. I gotta say, it's like, the older I get, it's just so, I used to be a little bit more like precious about like, well, they're taking a lot of power, this, that, the other. Oh, well, that's a little, fuck that. I'm like, it's just black and white. It's empire or anti-empire. And I'm tired of people also wringing their hands about like lack of perfection from Lula, from Morales, from Maduro, from, you know, when Chavez was
especially,
alive.
Especially like, you know, I'm not justifying, it doesn't justify, like, the stuff on Syria, there's so much propaganda and lies, and, like, yeah, the president wasn't really elected. I'm not going to claim that, like, he's, like, a democratically elected president, Bashar al-Assad. But in the case of Latin America, but there's still no excuse in Syria. I mean, they're still trying to destroy the country.
Right.
And Syria is a much bigger country than one person. But what I'm saying is that That's one thing, and there's no justification for that. But in Latin America, these are democratically elected leaders.
Exactly.
They are actual democratic socialists. And these people in the U.S. who are like, oh, we're all democratic socialists, these people are dictators. No, they're not. No. They are democratic socialists.
Right.
And you think if Bernie Sanders wins the election, he's not going to face attempts at coups?
Right.
Look what's happening to Jeremy Corbyn. Corbyn could be the prime minister, and he's facing...
That anti-Semite...
The Integrity
Initiative. I'm smiling. Yeah.
The Integrity Initiative, by the way, we have a report of the Gray Zone, was this British government-funded group that was attacking the left, attacking Jeremy Corbyn, attacking Chris Williamson. So we already have proof that the British government has been leading a campaign. Look at the CIA is already trying to coup Trump. And Trump is a far-right, horrible piece of shit.
Right.
Imagine if Bernie Sanders were president. So the thing is, all these people who are criticizing Evo Morales and Maduro and Daniel Ortega, and it's like, you have no idea how hard it is to be able to govern. And the fact that they still are being able to govern is a reflection of the fact that they have a massive popular movement of people who are right now in the streets in Bolivia demanding the restoration of their government.
I wonder how this is going to work as a podcast. I hope so.
I'm reading their comment. Oh, yeah, we should be talking because we're live. I'm sorry.
Right,
we're reading the comments.
Is Dan Cohen a toxin within leftist analysis, or how to paint yourself as a progressive while sounding like Nikki Haley? What's she talking about?
They're making fun of other comments. I don't know.
Oh, got it. Please tell me you are making this available later. Yeah, we will. I'm definitely as a podcast. I guess as video. Can I say?
Well, no, this
video?
Will be available.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be. Yeah. It's going to be for perpetuity. It's for
in perpetuity. Yeah. Unless I cut some of it off, throw it onto Patreon. Just kidding. I won't do that. But I do want to urge everyone to donate to my Patreon. Patreon.com/TheKatieHelperShow. Sounds so scammy, but I'm not scamming people. I bring good content.
Yeah, you should give money to Katie. Give your money to women. Katie Helper.
Helper, yeah. I got Matt Brunigan and Tim Higginbotham, the most Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah, it's a real guy. They were talking about Elizabeth Warren's healthcare plan. About her plan to pay for it. I'm so dumb. It took me forever to understand that the issue was just how to pay for it, not the actual program. Like, I mean, who knows, though? She's so vague about it. Who knows what Medicare for All...
That's the excuse
they
use, though. Because they never ask that for wars. They never say, how are we going to pay for this
war? Of course, right. No, but it's just like, she's not saying we can't pay for it. It's just that she's using basically something that isn't a middle class... She's claiming that a middle class tax essentially isn't, because it's not literally, but it is. That's what it is. Anyway, you know Bernie... Liza Featherstone, shout out to a frequent guest of the show, Liza Featherstone, who told me that Bernie, he was being asked, I guess, if there were any things that wouldn't be covered by insurance. And he was like, well, if you're going to get your nose fixed, which is like such a great Jewish response, because there are a lot of people in that community who do that.
Speaking
in my
of
community.
Medicare for All, Evo Morales created a universal healthcare system that was recognized by the United Nations for being a great thing that helped benefit the majority of the population and it helped expand public health. And so talking about democratic socialism, Evo Morales created this exact kind of Medicare for All style universal healthcare system. And you can bet it's going to be privatized.
Yeah, you can bet your bottom dollar. So we got to wrap up, right? But how do we save these comments?
Well, they stay on there.
Okay, so I want to watch it. So
the evidence will be available to everyone in the future.
Yeah, unless I delete it. But I won't do that. But
I apologize for being overbearing.
No, you're not. Your article. That sounds sarcastic.
But there are moments where I get like really heated and I'm just, because this stuff
really...
Oh, this
is the post-game analysis. How did I do in minute two? Well, there was some heat. We can do the director's cut of this.
There was like a 20-minute period where I was just like yelling about...
Well, I was also fiddling around with the whatever. Yeah. So if I want to do another video...
I think it's not very personal. It pains me so much.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
Latinx. Apparently, they just came out with a study that's like a huge majority of Latinos don't
one.
Word.
By the way, in Latin America, no one says Latinx.
I'm sure
No one. What they do sometimes do is they'll do
the acroba.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw that a lot in Spain. Yeah, which is, we didn't even talk. I got to have a show about Spain. Because I made a documentary about Spanish Civil War and historical memory called La Memoria Vaga, which you can find online. This memory, the Association for the Recuperation of Historical Memory posted it.
Speaking of Spain, latest news in Spain is the far-right party Vox just won a bunch of seats.
I know, they're really far-right.
Also, did you see that there was recently... This is really crazy, I didn't get enough attention. The Spanish government recently moved the body of Francisco Franco.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I know. That's what I did my documentary on.
But they basically... It was basically...
Moved it to
like,
a nice... Very
well, no,
nice.
Well, they moved it away, which isn't necessarily a bad idea.
Yeah, they exhumed
it. But if you're going to do it, you should just do it like in the middle of the night when no one's watching.
Well, that's what they basically
did. They had like
a
mass... No, they had like a ceremony.
No, but yeah, but they didn't let people like attend it. It was like the worst of all worlds.
But it was like basically a state ceremony.
I know. They moved him into a very nice place.
Max Blumenthal and I have a podcast... Modern
Rebels. Check that out.
And we recently did an episode talking about the protest in Chile, the massive uprising. And we also talked about the situation in Mexico, which a second part's coming out soon. And we discussed how there are fears we've been hearing. People are afraid there might be a coup next against Andrés Manuel López Obrador, AMLO, in Mexico, who's the first left-wing leader in 50 years there. So keep an eye on Mexico. The situation is important. Mexico, of course, gave refuge to Evo Morales. He's there right now.
Right.
And AMLO is a staunch progressive. He's not as openly socialist, but he supports Latin American integration. And in his first speech at the inauguration, he gave a a burning speech. It was amazing, fiery speech. And he said, the night of neoliberalism has ended, and now there's a new dawn.
Nice.
So there, people are really worried. And not only people, other people, AMLO himself recently tweeted, he said, it was a kind of loose reference, indirect reference to the right wing that's threatening him with a coup. And he said, there will not be another coup in Mexico. And he was talking about a previous progressive president in Mexico from over 100 years ago who was cooed out as well.
Cooed out. I like that. That should be the name of a podcast.
Cooed out.
Yeah.
People are like, I don't know, that would be a, because people are like, is that like COOED? Like cooed? Is this like
something? COUP.
Right? No, but I know, but like.
That would confuse people.
But English is a stupid language and we don't pronounce, I mean, it's like.
Oh, cool. Well, that's, yeah, yeah.
Where like, what does that mean? Are you cooed out? Like, does that just mean you're tired?
Right.
All right. Well.
All right, great. Thanks for where can me people on find you?
I tweet way too much, and you can find
where
me.
Is that? Yeah.
I look up Ben Norton at Benjamin Norton, and you can find The Gray Zone. I'm the assistant editor of The Gray Zone with Max Blumenthal, who's the editor and founder. It's thegrayzone.com, and that's with an A, gray with American spelling. And yeah, we have a show, Moderate Rebels.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And okay, cool. Awesome. And thanks for listening to the Katie Halper Show. And this will be available always as a podcast. Yeah. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah. And hopefully this live stream actually worked. And after an hour and a half, we look back at it and it's not like unwatchable.
Yeah, I know. I don't think so. Guys, do you think it's been unwatchable? Tell us.
And at the Gray Zone, we've just started doing live streams and we just did our second one. So we're still trying to figure it out. But I think by the third one, we should have all the issues ironed out. And Aaron Mate is hosting those. So we're hopefully going to...
Aaron Mate, good friend of the show.
So we're hopefully going to, at the Gray Zone and Moderate Rebels, we're going to start doing more of these live streams.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to do this with Aaron, an interview with Aaron, maybe tonight or tomorrow. We'll see, but stand by for that.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Katie.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Please rate and review the Katie Halper Show on iTunes. And you can, of course, find the Katie Halper Show on Facebook. And thanks again for listening.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.